Welcome to Chasing Clarity, a conversational podcast about ocean imagery and the artists that create it.
I was using a GoPro dome for the very first time ever, never ever used it, and I dived under this guy and somehow I've floated back up and I got three fins across my calf muscle. And I've been out of the water for about 6 weeks now and couldn't walk for about a week.
My name is Edo Harris and you're listening to Chasing Clarity. And in today's episode, I have Scott Amos from Samos Photography. Talk about his unique setup he's using to capture action sequences, the business of selling prints, his charity surf photography that he's working at the moment, and the dangers of bobbing around in the ocean trying to get an image. Pump it up in your earbuds and let the learnings wash over you.
Yeah, my name's Scott Amos. I turned 50 about a year's time. Doing photography for about 6 years. Mainly stick with Canon gear. It's just what I sort of started with, what I'm used to. I kind of like it. Mainly L-series lenses and a few Sigma lenses. I've got a Canon 5D3 full-frame camera and a Canon 7D Mark II, the cropped camera. I've just recently changed over and got a second housing. I've got two Aquatec housings, and I've just recently changed over to buy a second Aquatec housing for the Canon 7D Mark II, because that shoots at 10 frames a second. And a couple of years ago, I only had the one housing and the one camera. And the Quickie Pro come on, I flooded the camera housing on the first day of the Quickie Pro. So I thought it's time to buy a second housing and a second camera. And then that way I've always got a backup in case, you know, flood the camera. You never know who's going to be in the water and you want to get them. You don't want to be out of the water. Mm. And I don't want that to happen again. And shoot with a couple of Tamron lenses as well, but mainly with the Canon L series lenses and the Sigma lenses. I find that they're sort of some of the better ones on the market, and the Sigma lenses are a really good quality lens at a really reasonable price. Some people put some crap on them, say they're not that good, but they are brilliant lenses, some of them.
So for you, ocean imagery is in the water, right?
Yeah, ocean imagery in the water, mainly just waves and sunrise photos before I get in the ocean. But mainly just shooting waves, either empty waves or surfers on the waves is mainly my type of ocean imagery that I'm like the most.
Yep. So what were you saying? You had carpal tunnel syndrome.
Yeah, I had carpal tunnel syndrome about 6 years ago, and I was out of the water, out of work for about 6 months.
What were you doing for work?
I've got my own business. So I've got a window cleaning business. I had the carpal tunnel wrist surgery because it's pinched nerves in the wrist. And the missus at the time, wife at the time, said you should get Facebook and look at the surf photographers on Facebook. And I'd never had used a camera in my life. And found Clark Little from Hawaii and Warren Keelan. If no one's heard of Warren Keelan, he's from Australia down in Wollongong. And once I found Warren Keelan, I seen his images and thought, well, if he can do that in Australia, I'll give it a go. And yeah, just bought myself a camera, went out and just started myself, taught myself.
Did you reach out to those guys at all?
I did actually reach out to quite a few photographers trying to get tips on photography gear to buy. Because you don't want to go and fork out a fortune to find out the gear's crap.
Yeah.
And basically no photographer would ever answer any questions. And Warren Keelan, top bloke, he's a good mate of mine, wasn't until then. Gave me some advice, told me what to steer clear of, what to look for. And he gave me the advice of going for a full frame camera rather than a crop frame camera, rather than, you know, spending $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 on a camera, lenses and housing. You want to make sure that the end package is what you want. So if you've got to buy a full frame, if that's what you want, you know, you might as well start with a full frame and then save up for the full frame lenses and the housing if that's the end product what you want. But if you're on a budget, you can go something with the cropped camera and your cheaper lenses, and housings are always the same price. So there's two ways to go. But, yeah, he gave me the advice of going the full frame, which is the way I went. And, yeah, it's the best advice I could have got, to be honest.
So 6 years ago, it was probably the 5D Mark III, right?
Yeah, 5D Mark III. Yeah.
Yep. Why do you think other photographers didn't hit you back?
I think a lot of photographers sometimes they, to be honest, a lot of them sometimes have their head up their ass. If ever I get any kid message my page, any person message my page wants information, as long as they've asked politely, they're going to get an answer. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how many messages I take. It just pissed me off when I was trying to get that. Nobody had to give you advice. And when you're going to fork out $4,000 or $5,000, it'd be nice just to get, oh, yeah, I'll get back to you when I'm not busy. Yeah, a lot of them didn't ever want to get back, give you advice. I don't know whether it's they feel it's taking too much of their time or they're above that or maybe they get messaged too much, because that's obviously a lot of problems. So I'd imagine Clark Little, his inbox probably gets flooded, so he obviously can't answer everybody. But I do try to. Obviously, I'm nowhere near as big as those guys.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if I can answer the questions, I always do.
You're a bit of a proponent for just over the years I've seen your work and stuff and seen you out in the water, but you're a bit of a proponent for manners.
I think that's the way to go. I always like to talk to everybody. If anybody, you know, asks you a question, if you can answer the question and give them a bit of advice and be nice to them, I don't see why you shouldn't. Some people think they're above that. Some people think that, you know, they're up there and everybody else is down there. And to be honest, we're all down there. We're all learning until the day we stop. You know, with photography, you know, Clark Little, one of the best guys in the world, is still learning. Everybody's still learning. So nobody's really better than anybody else. Some just do it a little bit of now. But, you know, if you can give anybody an advice to get them going and getting heading in the right direction, whether it be camera settings, products to buy, products to stay away from, I think that's the way to go. If you can help them, why not?
Okay, so your ocean imagery surf photography is in the surf photography. You got Samos Surf Photography, the brand.
Yep.
Do you delve into the fine art stuff, or do you do any drone work or any other sort of stuff, videography?
Recently bought a drone, and the first flight I had, I crashed it and killed it. So,
what sort?
It was just the ones that those Bunnings started selling. I forget the name of it. I think it might be called Aerodrone or something. I've forgotten the name.
How much are they?
About $900.
Really?
Yeah. And it crashed, and I've destroyed one of the motors first time. So I do want to get back into drone photography. I'm seeing a lot of guys do a lot of stuff on the coast of just some very simple shots, just up looking down in Tullabudger Creek. Simple shot. All you can do is fly it up there, point it down and look at it. You can edit those things into amazing photos, like with all the depth, the colors, the clarity, the sand patterns on the bottom. Some of the guys that are doing a lot of drone work on the coast are putting out some amazing footage, and that's what made me want to get a drone, but I've killed it. I'm going to have to get it repaired or buy another one.
Do you have insurance on those?
No, not on the drone. I didn't. I hadn't added that to the list yet.
Insurance on your gear? Just
I've got insurance on all my other gear. Yeah, you've sort of got to do that. Breaking enters with stuff nowadays in your house and stuff.
So you put it on Home and Contents?
Put it on Home and Contents, yeah.
Okay, because I've got to do that.
Yeah, no, that's just sort of a must-have. I had a couple of years ago, I had lightning hit my house, fried everything in the house. If I had the camera plugged in, it would have fried the camera. So it's good to have that stuff on your Home and Contents.
Yeah, right. Wow. You take a few lightning shots as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do like to take a few lightning shots. I still don't think I've really captured a fantastic one yet or a good one yet. They're sort of hard to find. A couple of mates of mine, there's a guy called Dan Mahoney Photography. He's doing some of the best lightning shots in Australia that I've seen at the moment. He does a lot up around Brisbane there. But yeah, I'd like to do a lot more lightning photography. It's just it's a bit of a hard thing to do on compared to the surf photography.
Yeah. So when you paddle out, what's your actual setup?
When I paddle out, pretty well for the 6 years I've been doing it. For the last the first 5 years, I had the my weapon of choice was the Aquatech housing, 5D Mark III in it, and the Sigma 15mm prime lens, 2.8 that is. And I'd have two GoPros on the top, either one facing forward, one facing back, or both facing forward. And those GoPros I use in different ways. If I go out for 6 hours, I've got two GoPros on the top, and I can just run one, run it flat, doing videos only, do stills on the DSLR that's in the housing. Once the first GoPro goes flat, I can then turn onto the second GoPro and do videos on that. Or alternatively, I can go out with a long lens, 50mm lens, 85mm lens, 100mm lens, 70 to 200mm lens in the housing on the DSLR. The problem then is if you do that, if Mick Fanning or Kelly Slater or someone or anybody goes past you, a good mate goes past you super close where a 15mm lens would get that, you can't get that with an 85mm lens. All you're going to do is get a cropped image of his head. So I never used to actually use a lot of GoPro stills, but now with the GoPro 5 and 6, as the technology has advanced that far that they're actually taking pretty damn good photos. They're not on par with the DSLR, but if I go out with a long lens, I can have the 5D III, a long lens in the housing. I can have a video on one GoPro, and I can do stills up close on the other GoPro. So you've got three things to choose from when you're out there photographing. So that's usually my weapon of choice.
So you're switching three things on.
Like, yeah, three things. Yeah, I'll see someone say paddle for a wave, and you go, "Oh, this thing looks like it's going to barrel off its head." So I'll hit the video straight up. If I've got, say, an 85mm lens on and he's a fair way away, I might shoot with the 85 until he gets to, say, the 50mm length, and then I might flick over. And when he gets to about the 35mm length, I'll start shooting with the GoPro, and I might shoot, say, 30 frames over 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So in that 3 seconds, he'll be right on top of me in the 15mm section, which is sort of one of the photos you want, but you lose if you got the long lens. So, yeah, I didn't do it with the GoPro 2, 3 or 4, but the 5 and 6 is starting to shoot a lot better. If you spend a bit of editing time, you can get them to look pretty good.
Mm. You can also record in 4K, can't you, on those things?
You can also record in the 4K.
And take stills off them, yeah?
I tend to just record at the 1080 on the new GoPro 6s because that's got the highest frame rate. It's 240 frames per second. So when you want to slow it down, you can slow it right down. The 4K, I'm not 100% sure about that, so don't quote me on it. I think its maximum might be 60 frames a second. So it only allows you to slow it down a certain amount. So if you're a genius at editing, that won't be a problem. I'm not really a genius in editing, so I stick to the 1080 HD, yep. 240 frames a second.
What do you use for editing?
Just for my editing of videos. Like I said, I'm not really that good at it. I don't really like to spend a lot of time editing videos. I just like to chuck it in, set a start point, set an end point, slow it down any point you want to slow it down, chuck in your music and just press save. So I'm just going with Windows Live Movie Maker for my videos and Lightroom for the photos.
Yep, and you're a Mac or?
Just a normal PC. What is it now? I can't remember. Hewlett Packard, I think it is. Yeah, no, not on the Macs yet, just the normal one, Windows and Lightroom, sorry. I never got that out. Yeah, and just Lightroom edit Lightroom. The photos.
Yep, cool. I've seen you talk about not undervaluing your work before. Do you make money from your
shots? You can make a little bit of money. It's not as easy. Everybody thinks they're going to get into surf photography and make a fortune, and that's just simply not going to happen. It's one in a million is going to make a lot of money out of surf photography, and I'm probably never going to be one of those people. You get a few people that are traveling quite a lot, well-known people, Shieldsy, Just Little Photography. They're sort of traveling around doing trips, getting hired by people here and there to do trips. But in general, you're not going to make a lot of money out of surf photography. Any money that's made out of surf photography, if you're just sort of shooting in your local area, it's just through selling photos to guys, your regular Joes, that might not even be rippers. They're just an average surfer, but no one points a camera at them because they're just an average surfer. So I'm quite happy to see a guy take off, smile at me because I'm in front of him with a camera, and that smile says to me, mate, I'd love to see myself on a camera. And I'll quite happily shoot a couple of shots of him. And he'll say, oh, mate, can I buy a couple of shots? And I'm quite happy to provide that service. But for making big bucks, it's pretty hard to make big bucks out of photography.
Yeah, what do you charge for a photo?
The photos really depends on whether it's shot with a GoPro or whether it's shot with a DSLR. And the shots also depend on whether the guy's just standing there or whether he's in a smoking barrel. So it's sort of a sliding scale. Some of the GoPro ones you can, fairly cheapish. Because it's not a high quality photo, it is a GoPro, and you can only blow it up to a certain size.
So you're selling the high res,
just the high res image.
Yep.
But the occasional surfer says, "Oh, mate, look," or I might even get more to the point: a surfer's misses will message the page and go, "Oh, mate, my boyfriend showed me a photo you took. I want to get it for a Christmas present. Can you get it on canvas for me?" And then what I'll do is I'll get it on canvas for him and give him the digital copy for the future, so they can do whatever they like with it. But yeah, your average Joes are the ones that you make the most money out of on the Gold Coast, and they're happy because no one ever points a camera at them. They're all pointing the cameras at all the guys that rip.
You've got a code when it comes to pointing a camera at someone, don't you?
I do have a bit of a code. You see some people, and it's sort of a respect thing, like a lot of people don't realise how hard it is doing surf photography and how expensive it is. I've spent $80,000 on camera gear in 6 years. And when you get sort of
80
some,
grand.
Yeah, 80 grand. That's not cheap, mate. I've spent a lot of
money. Oh, no, it's not cheap, mate.
Yeah. And then when you get a surfer who's sponsored, who's quite happy to put your photo on social media and plug all his sponsors but not plug you as a photographer, pisses you off, Mate, you wouldn't have this photo for your sponsors if you didn't tag the photographer. If photographer's good enough to point it at you, you should be good enough to tag him. And photographers talk. A lot of surfers, you don't tag your photographer. A lot of photographers talk. A lot of photographers will stop pointing the camera at you because you don't tag. And a lot of people don't get that. And it's not much to ask. If you get a really good photo, you can spend 10, 15, 20 minutes editing one photo to make it look schmick as, and then they turn around, plug their sponsors, but don't plug you. It's sort of an insult. A lot of photographers find that, I think.
How funny is it? There's, you know, photographers used to put watermarks on them.
Yeah.
And now some of the groms, they collect the watermarks, you know what I mean? So instead of paying for the image and getting the watermark removed, they love how many they can get with different watermarks.
Yep. Yep. And if I could give any advice to myself before I started photography, my best advice, and a lot of people are going to go, oh, whatever, that's just rubbish. My advice to anybody, if you want to start photography and get somewhere and get seen and get shared, don't put a watermark on it. And I was so, you got a watermark. People are going to steal your stuff for the first couple of years. And then I realized, look, I've had enough. I couldn't be bothered watermarking it. I'm going to stop watermarking it and see if bigger companies start sharing your stuff. And as soon as I took the watermarks off, that's what happened. Bigger companies started sharing my stuff, started contacting me, wanting to buy photos of some of their sponsored surfers. No big page or brand name page, whether it be Rip Curl or whether it be Billabong, want to put your photo on their page with a watermark on it. It's just a fact of life. I would have disagreed a couple of years ago, but as soon as I took the watermarks off, things started happening.
So they still pay for your photo though, right?
They'd still pay for your photo. And if you sold a photo to a company that was of one of their sponsored surfers, when they buy the photo, obviously you give them the photo and the rights.
Yep.
And you take the watermark off. Obviously the watermark's not on it. But just for getting your average shared around, so as you get seen, so as you grow, so as people talking, people don't tend to share stuff with watermarks. They might if it's a tiny, tiny, small one down the bottom. But if you put them in the middle of stuff, which I used to, a lot of people won't share because they feel like, oh, he's just doing this for free advertising. And they don't want to put that on their page with a million followers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if I could turn around and start photography again, I'd start without watermarks.
But then you got the guys that don't tag you.
Then you got the guys that don't tag you, yeah.
So and it's then, a two-edged sword sort of thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, two-edged sword. And then, like, there's a couple of people that I don't photograph anymore and just they clearly know I don't photograph them anymore.
That's not someone who ran over you recently, was
no,
it?
No. He's actually a really, really nice guy. It was actually, 100% my fault that I got run over.
Tell me that. So that's obviously a danger of getting in the water among surfers.
It's a bit of a danger. I've been run over quite a few times. Have you? Never hurt before. Usually just a bump and a nudge here and there.
What happened this time?
This time I was using a GoPro dome for the very first time ever. Never, ever used it. And just at Taramba, I actually bought a GoPro dome to use when the surf's not that good and I just want to go out with the DSLR. I don't want to go out with the DSLR and just waste the camera and waste the shutter count on it. So I'll sometimes just go out with a GoPro. So I bought a dome to use it and went out of D-Bar. It was only after about half an hour and I dived under this guy and somehow I've floated back up and, I got three fins across my calf muscle. And, I've been out of the water for about 6 weeks now and couldn't walk for about a week. You can get hit out there. You can get hurt out there. I had a mate of mine cop a nose of a surfboard straight to his eyebrow, nearly took his eye out. You got to be careful, especially at places like Snapper, you know, there's 600 people out on the point.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think it's too crowded?
It does get a bit too crowded, but I'd rather see it overcrowded and crazy rather than governments and councils putting rules on it, telling you when you can can't go out.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So,
I don't think that should happen at all.
No.
But it also provides some drama for photographers and stuff.
The best thing why I love Snapper is the crowd, because it's just a cauldron. It's like a boxing arena. And you know, you've got all surfers out there fighting for that inside spot, and they want that inside spot. So if you're out there and it's pumping and you can swim and you're fit, you're going to get six shots. What a lot of people don't also realize too, the photographers do exactly the same thing. And I got a couple of photographers that ain't happy at me. And the reason they're not happy at me is because they're continuously shooting the back of my head. And I'm actually not very healthy. I've got quite a few health problems. And all I can think of is, dude, if you're pissed off at me because you're shooting the back of my head, I'm as sick as hell. You need to ask yourself why you are on the inside of me, because I'm not very fit.
Health issues you got, mate?
I've got Crohn's disease.
Right.
I've had it for about 4 years now.
What's that mean?
And it's basically an inflammation of the bowel wall. It's just very debilitating.
So that affects you, like, fatigue-wise?
It affects you fatigue-wise, pain. I'm normally in pain about 95% of the time. It's just a pain in your around the sort of lower stomach area. You've always got it. It's always there. You've always got to be careful of your diet, what you eat. Can't drink alcohol anymore.
So if you've got these carpal tunnel, Crohn's disease, these other health issues, why are you out in the water shooting?
Oh, mate, since I've got Crohn's, it makes you realise how short life is. And about 4 years ago, I tried to cut back work as much as I can into surf pump and I'm out in the surf. Like, life's short, so you know, if I drown in the surf one day, that's the way I want to go.
Yeah, but what is it about it that you like?
Just the adrenaline rush and the nature and the you know, I've used to ride motorbikes for years, done a lot of sort of crazy stuff, but just the surf photography and the rush you get from it. You know, I've surfed all my life. You can go out as a surfer, and if you're Kelly Slater, you can go out at Snapper, and the max barrels you're going to get if you're paddling is 6 barrels in an hour, maybe 10 if you're really lucky. And if there's a huge sweep, you know, you're getting 5 or 6 barrels an hour. If I'm out at Snapper, I can get 100 barrels in an hour with my camera, and I can share those barrels with everybody that's in them. There's no way I, myself as a surfer, can go out and get barreled as much as I do with the camera in my hand. And that's what sort of draws me to photography. And you know, one of my other mates, foam balls photography, Craig Besson, one of the best advice tips was listening to him talk about photography, and I've got so much respect for that guy. He's not happy until he's nearly hitting you in the head with the housing. And I tried to copy that about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And that's where you're going to get your shot. The closer you can get, the better you're going to get the shot with, say, a 10 to 15 mil lens on.
Yeah, we would.
And that, to me, is the rush, getting as many barrels as I can and getting that camera as close to the guy's head as I can. It's not always possible with your health, with the sweep, with the crowd, with the tide, and, you know, trying to fight to get that one, two shots out of a 2-3 hour session. That's what it's all about. I just love it.
So that's your favorite spot to shoot?
Snapper's probably my favorite place to shoot. You know, there's just so many hot surfers there. Like, if it's pumping, it's full of hot surfers. Whether they're 10 years old and ripping, or whether there's a couple of 40, 50 and 60 year old guys out there ripping, you go out there, I don't know how old rabbit is.
Yeah.
See rabbit out there just charging, you know, and just as hard as some of these 15 year olds. It's just the best spot to go to get guys charging.
Mate, I got to ask, what's with the sunnies? Are they like surf specific sunnies, or are they goggles, or what's going on with those?
Well, I'm nearly 50. I surfed all my life.
But are they sunnies?
They're sunnies.
They're just sunnies.
Yeah, they're just sunnies. I surfed all my life, and I got what they call surfer's eye or pterygiums on my eyes.
Yeah.
And it's a growth that grows over your eye. So at about 30 years old, I actually had to give up surfing because I couldn't physically, and I still can't to this day, go outside without sunglasses on because my eyes just instantly squint, close, instant headaches, and it's from the pterygiums on my eyes. The only way to get those off is you get an operation. They laser them off or they scrape them off. Excuse me. So, yeah, at about 30, I actually gave up surfing because I just couldn't go out and surf without sunglasses. And back then, they didn't actually have sunglasses that had straps on them that go around the back of your head that you can wear out in the surf. And I got to about 40.
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah.
They were way back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I got to about 40 and the missus gave me a pair of sunglasses for Christmas. And then I started surfing again with the sunnies on. And then I was still having trouble with the light going down through the top of the sunglasses. So that's when I bolted or sewed a hat onto the pull cord on my weddy. So then I have the hat to keep the light off from going in the top of the sunnies and the sunnies on. They're called Sundog sunnies. And if anybody ever gets sunnies to use for a camera, get non-polarized ones, because the polarized ones, you can't see the screen on your back of your camera. Yeah, like a long story about that. I paddled out 6 times one day, couldn't see the back of the camera. Every time I come into the car, I could see the back of the camera, and then I realised it's the polarised sunnies. So, yeah, don't use polarised sunglasses with a camera because it doesn't work.
Well, you're the only dude I've seen paddling around with sunnies on out in the water.
Yeah. Well, excuse me. It's actually been good for business that way.
Because they recognise you.
Because they recognise who I am, and people ask, oh, he's a photographer with a hat and sunnies. They can find me easy if they want to buy photos.
Yep.
So, yeah, one thing it's allowed me to get out there because I can actually see what I'm doing.
That might be like Trav Don Johnson. He wears leggings.
Oh, yeah.
No shirt and leggings. That one's for you, Trav boy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I've lost about 3 pairs of sunnies over the years. They get ripped off your head, but, yeah, I couldn't do it. I simply wouldn't be able to do photography without them.
So, yeah, you said you gave a little bit of advice to your former self. What would you give? What sort of advice would you give to the younger generation coming through, or the, you know, like me? I haven't just started photography, but I've just started getting in the water and stuff over the last year. But I'm a surfer background, so if there's waves, I'm surfing. I'm not worrying about shooting.
A lot of people do that nowadays. A lot of my photographer mates do that too. Yeah. Well, if it's photography, and photography is your thing, and you know, you're asking about photography, what they should do. I actually did about 6 months of photography, and I would actually turn this back around where I started on auto, and I did 6 months on auto. The other best advice I could give myself would be start on manual immediately. Shoot sunrises, shoot sunsets, shoot in the middle of the day, and learn those settings. It took me about 2 years to learn settings, you know, because each day is different, each light's different. You'll go out, clouds will come across, they'll disappear, it'll be full sunlight. So, yeah, switch to manual as soon as possible. That would be the best advice in photography I could give anybody. As soon as I switched to manual, spent a year or two learning the settings. Learning the settings and what you should be using at what time of the day and all that sort of stuff, your photography starts to get better and better.
So how often are you out in the water? Or how often are you shooting?
Obviously,
if you're injured lately, but I mean,
yeah, obviously injured lately, I haven't been. When I first started, 2013, 2014, I started in 2011, I think it was. But 2013 and 14, I was shooting about 6 days a week in the water. We seem to have a lot of swell and consistent swell all the time. The last 2 years, we haven't had a lot of swell. So if there's swell, I'm out there. I try and get out as much as possible. But I think I bought a new 5D Mark III about a year and a half ago. And every file that I upload to the camera, I put in first day with camera, second day with camera. Well, in the last year, I've used that camera 63 times. And I've just sort of done that just to keep a record out of interest, that when that camera dies and maybe it's got 1,000 times I use the camera, I can justify spending that amount of money on it divided by how many times I used it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I try to get in as much as possible. If there's surf, I want to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got my own business, so I can go work when I want, do what I want when I need to do it, put work off at the surf. But, yeah, as much as possible is the goal.
Have you always had your own business, or did you – start it so you can do more photography?
Since my son was born, my son turns 20 next year. Yeah, I started my own business about the same time he was born. Before that, I was working for other people. Yeah, but yeah, when my son was born, I started my own sort of cleaning business, window cleaning business, maintenance, cleaning on shopping centres, stuff like that.
Yep.
Cleaning of medical centres, high rises. I look after a couple of high rises in surface. I used to manage a couple of high rises.
Yeah,
but now I've just got mainly my window cleaning, unit cleaning business, so I can pick the hours I want to work. So when it's pumping, I go to the beach, and later on when it's blowing out, I go to work.
Yeah, yeah. So you spoke about the disabled surfing volunteering stuff. I have noticed that you've been doing that over the years. Tell me what's that all about?
I had a friend of mine, it's called Looks Like Me Photography, Glenn Hardwick, another really good mate. I'd known him for about 2 years. And then he just asked me one day, he said, mate, I've been involved with this organisation, Disabled Surfers Association Gold Coast. And he said, I'm pretty well the only photographer that turns up to every event. He said, would you be interested in coming along? It's over the summer months, about 6 months of the year. And
just once a month or something?
Just once a month. And he said, would you be interested? Now, I've had a lot to do with schooling. I used to live in Evans Head, New South Wales, and a lot of people don't know, Lismore in Australia has got one of the highest population of disabled people in Australia. There's a lot of disabled workshops there. A lot of employers hire disabled people.
Am I right? I heard it also had one of the highest ice rates.
Yeah, one of the highest ice rates too. Yeah, it's sad that I saw that a couple of months ago. Yeah, it's quite bad. Casino's pretty bad too.
So sorry.
Yeah. But I used to like – I didn't like it, but on the bus the disabled people used to get picked on quite a lot by people that were a lot bigger than them and a lot bigger than me. And I'd always stand in and get my fucking ass kicked, but they'd stop picking on the disabled people because I really got a lot of respect for disabled people. But I'll be 100% honest, when my mate Pugs asked me to come and volunteer at this, I was a little bit nervous. And I'd been there about 10 minutes and I was just sold for life. And it's like, mate, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. Every event, I'm going to be there. I left that night, and the next day I had sore facial muscles from smiling.
Oh, yeah.
And the very next event I went back to, some lady ran up and hugged me in tears. This lady's about 60 years old and her daughter is about 22. And I took a photo, and it's the first time she's ever got a photo of her daughter smiling. And it brought me to tears.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, mate, that's it. I'm sold for life. And now I've got quite a lot of friends, the parents of the disabled kids, and a lot of the disabled kids and adults, because we've got people from 2, even a couple of months old sometimes come, right through. We had someone who was 98 years old.
On the board.
On the board, yeah. And it's just the greatest event you can be part of. It's absolutely amazing to see these smiles. We get as many volunteers as there as we can. Sometimes it's not easy to get a lot of volunteers. We've had the Gold Coast Titans there. We've had a lot of famous people there over the years. And, you know, the more people we get volunteering, the more rides these people get on the boards.
Right, okay.
Sometimes we don't have enough volunteers. We can't put out as many boards as we want to put out. Sometimes we have a whole heap of volunteers and people can get 5, 6, 7 rides each rather than the 1 or 2 rides, 3 rides max. We've had people with no arms and legs come to this event and it's just amazing. And they fell off. And this guy that fell off, his dad warned us that he was going to keep tipping the board because he loves getting the adrenaline rush. And every time he tipped the board, and all the volunteers, we all freaked out. Oh, you got to get him. We pull him up and he's laughing his tits off. And it's like, mate, you did that on purpose again, didn't you? And he just looks at you and shakes his head, you know. It's just the best thing you can ever do, eh?
That sounds pretty awesome, man.
And they're surfers. They're just like me and you. They just can't surf as good as me and you.
That's pretty good, Samos. So where to from here, man, for your future ocean imagery?
It's sort of hard to say. It's something I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I want to travel the world a bit more. If I can, I'd like to get over to Hawaii and shoot some of the stuff that I see Clark Little doing. Basically, I'm like probably every other surf photographer. We started this because we thought we were going to get somewhere. Maybe we thought we'd make a lot of money. Maybe we thought we might get a bit of fame at it.
Well, you started it because of injury though, didn't you?
I started it because of injury, because of my hand. That's how I started. But then once I started getting the bug and get hooked and do it more often, probably for the first 6 months to a year, I started thinking maybe I could make a lot of money out of this, you know, get stuff printed left, right, and center, sell canvases left, right, and center, going to make a lot of money out of this. And after doing it for about a year, and to be honest, sometimes you'll go out at Snapper and you'll come home and you'll have 50 to 60 people message you who want free photos. I started to think, well, I'm not going to make any money out of this. This is just, and then I started thinking, well, this is for me. I'm doing it for me because I enjoy it. It's about going out where I want to go out, enjoying what I want to enjoy. Like, you know, it's about me and happiness that I can bring to others as well. You know, sometimes I get messages from my Facebook page that just blow my mind. People in countries that I've just gone, wow, you know, you follow me all the way over Tanzania and Zimbabwe and countries that I never thought that anybody would even be interested in surfing, and you're messaging me telling me that you love seeing my photos. Like, it's a bit of a trip, but you know, it's about my happiness and happiness I can bring to others. But the future will always involve getting in the ocean as much as I can, for as often I can, and as many hours as I can at a time, until my health or old age says you can't do it anymore. And then I'll be stuck shooting from land. So yeah, that's the future, I think.
Cool. So, Samos, where can people find you?
You can find me on Samos Surf Photography on Instagram and Samos Surf Photography on Facebook, and Samos Surf Photography on Vimeo, where I put my videos. I don't do a lot of videos. I used to a couple of years ago when we had a lot better swell. But, yeah, when I get more footage, I'll do a lot more videos.
Cool, man. Thank you for coming on the show.
Pleasure, mate. Been enjoyable. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe on your podcast player to never miss an episode. The podcast is listener supported. Without your messages, phone calls and conversations, there wouldn't exist a show. If you'd like to contribute to the ongoing future of the show, Chasing Clarity has a Patreon account. And for less than a cup of coffee a month, you can be part of the creative process and keep this show alive and kicking strong. I do listen to your feedback and want to thank you for your reviews on iTunes. The request for a certain guest has been overwhelmingly clear. And you should know, I'm chasing that interview. The King of Clarity is an elusive soul, much like the clarity we are striving for. Anyway, stay tuned, it's coming. Remember to show me your work on Instagram at SenseiOdell, that's SenseiOdell, and DM me any burning questions you got. My name is Odell Harris, you've been listening to Chasing Clarity. I hope you're inspired to grab your gear, go chasing, and get some water on you. You! Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear.